He said this while teaching in the synagogue in Capernaum. On hearing it, many of his disciples said, "This is a hard teaching. Who can accept it?" Aware that his disciples were grumbling about this, Jesus said to them, "Does this offend you? Then what if you see the Son of Man ascend to where he was before? The Spirit gives life. The flesh counts for nothing. The words I have spoken to you, they are full of the Spirit and life. Yet there are some of you who do not believe." For Jesus had known from the beginning which of them did not believe and who would betray him. He went on to say, "This is why I told you that no one can come to me unless the Father has enabled them." From this time, many of his disciples turned back and no longer followed him. "You do not want to leave too, do you?" Jesus asked the 12. Simon Peter answered him, "Lord, to whom shall we go? You have the words of eternal life. We have come to believe and to know that you are the Holy One of God."
In the reading, we heard that Jesus was saying things that made people uncomfortable and did not want to follow him anymore. He was challenging their understanding and moving from the glitz of healing the sick and feeding thousands to asking people to look within themselves and identify where they were not as they should be. I'd like to think that if I had been there at that time, I would be able to stand firm and follow Jesus, to be one of the 12 rather than one who found his teachings challenging, too challenging to continue to be a part of. I will never know for sure, but I know that I am quite a resilient person. I have had to overcome many challenges, and I am sure that there will be many more ahead of me. We do not know what challenges others face and should not place judgments on how deep or sincere their faith is. Their connection to God and relationship with Jesus is personal. Sometimes we get a glimpse, but most of the time it is something that is intertwined within a person's being. It is protected and cherished, not like a secret, but as something so important to our way of being that it defines our entire lives and how we live them. That leads me on to our other reading from Ephesians. The armour of God can be viewed as a way to defend our faith, that part that defines us, that part that is at times strong and secure, and at others tested and weakened. It's difficult not to associate armour with conflict, and especially at the moment, living in a world where we are surrounded by reports of conflict, violence, and aggression, the idea of preparing ourselves for attack is not a pleasant one. That being said, it can feel like we are being attacked at times, perhaps not in a physical way, but in a relentless onslaught of bad luck or misfortune. Life has a way of not going the way we might hope or plan for it to go. Things happen that we have to respond to or deal with. How we respond to them and cope with them is down to us. Two people can be raised in the same way, perhaps in the same family, attend the same schools, have similar acquaintances, experience similar life events, but have completely different outcomes. To take up the armour of God, to be able to withstand days when the world seems against you, is a choice. It is a choice that the 12 made, but those who left rejected. Being able to stand firm, to not run away, either physically or by other means, takes fortitude. It is not the easy option. I've seen images of tents at festivals in the UK this week, buffeted by the winds and some flying away. They were not able to stand firm. They may have been in want of guy ropes, deep pegs. Perhaps the tent was not well constructed or had a small defect that was exacerbated by the weather. Having recently had a holiday in a leaking tent, Those images made me grateful that we did not have to weather that particular storm. That is not to say that we had not had to battle with other storms. What have storms and tents flying away got to do with today's reading? Well, I've been thinking about the tents that didn't fly away, those that did stand firm, the ones whose ropes were strong and pegs were deep. We were given a list of the armour of God in our reading. How many can you remember? And this is where it gets a little bit more interactive. For the adults, I'd like you to share how many you remember with the person sitting next to you. With the children, in this part of the church, you have some helpful clues. You have some pictures with the armour of God. So if you'd like to come up and find them. So any children want to come up? Excellent. Well done. Fabulous. You can come. You can come soon. You can go. Go. You can come. You can come. Help the little ones, okay? Can you find any? Excellent.
Have a look around.
Right. Yeah. Not past the step, Daniel. We might be some up there. Everyone have a look up there. Can we see? Fabulous. Excellent. Thank you. Have a look, see that there's none left behind. Okay. Right. Hopefully you have been as successful as the children. Children, could you bring me all of the things that you have found? Thank you very much. Thank you. Brilliant. You can come and join your parents again. Maybe while I'm talking, you might hear something about one of the ones that you found. Ruth, thank you. Thank you very much. Okay, lovely. Okay. Brilliant. You've got some excellent. So we have shield of faith, sword of spirit, belt of truth, breastplate of righteousness, helmet of salvation, and shoes of peace. Can I get a thumbs up from everybody who got all of them right? Some people being honest, maybe some people less so. Thank you very much. So let's start with the belt of truth. Wearing the belt of truth isn't just about telling the truth, but it is about accepting the truth of the situation and your part in it. Sometimes you are the innocent victim. Sometimes you could have said or done something differently to change the situation. Is it helpful at the time to throw around recriminations and lay blame? No, it doesn't change it. But acknowledging the truth of the situation may enable us to grow and learn from it. The breastplate of righteousness. I had a long ponder about this one. So, wearing the breastplate of righteousness protects our heart from the attacks of the enemy. In essence, it protects our heart from sin. Breastplates can restrict us, however. They can mean that we are not flexible and responsive. When thinking about the kind of breastplate we might need, I thought about King T'Challa from the Black Panther films. I could pretend to you that I have gone back to the original source materials and had a deep understanding of how closely the films align themselves with the comics. I am not that person. What I loved about the Black Panther armor was that it was made from woven vibranium. Bear with me. I am aware that I am making a link between a fictitious element and the Bible, so I am treading on dangerous ground. The thing about the vibranium armor is that it doesn't inhibit the wearer's mobility. It is lightweight and flexible. It enables the Black Panther to withstand explosions and strikes from stronger opponents. In the 2018 movie, Shuri, King T'Challa's sister, explains that she has redesigned the suit so that it stores the kinetic energy ready to be redistributed towards the enemy. This is how I see the breastplate of righteousness, flexible and able to take the hits, ready for the time when the time comes to redistribute it towards the enemy against sin. But what are those hits? They are personal to each and every one of us. Some have had more hits than others, some harder hits, and some hits have come out of nowhere. None of us are immune to these hits. A question often voiced when people are coming to faith is, why do bad things happen to good people? Those of us with faith and a relationship with God through Jesus are not given a get out of jail free card. Our lives are not without their struggles. It is what we do with the struggle and how we live our lives that makes us different. Do we run away and seek solace in the easy option, in a bottle, in the validation of others? Or do we stand firm and take the hits, knowing that in time they will be redistributed? Shoes of peace. I feel from this reading that we are given the autonomy to spread the word of God the way that suits us and our gifts best. As we are instructed to put on whatever will make our feet ready to proclaim the gospel of peace. I have always loved shoes. I have owned some truly amazing shoes in my lifetime. Some shoes have taken me up mountains. Some have taken me down this very aisle. Some have taken me to hospital with feet swollen from pregnancy. Some have carried me steady behind the coffin of someone I loved. Some have enabled me to find the space and silence that I have craved. Some have made me feel taller. Some have made me feel comfortable. Some have danced the night away, and some are kicked off at the earliest opportunity. Each of these shoes has a purpose, a time, and a season. Some have been chosen for me, some have been longed for, and some have been lost to the ages. How do we clothe ourselves in the armor of God? Well, we can pray and ask for God to help us to resist the enemy. We can strengthen our armor by reading the word of God and actually using it to live our lives, not as an academic exercise, but a living, growing document that forms our thoughts and experiences. Are the decisions that we are making rooted in our understanding of what God wants for us or from us? Are we following the examples set by Jesus? Are we being true to ourselves, or are we looking for an opportunity to take the easier path? How often have we thought, I don't know how much more of this I can take? Can we stand our ground? How secure is our armor? Do we need help to place the guide ropes and pegs secure in the ground? Where can we get that help? For me, it is an active choice. At times, it is the difficult choice, but we are never alone, for God is in the room, and we can withstand all the arrows, for we can do all things through Christ who strengthens us.